If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. With me, Shay Dixon, to break down plenty of news over the past week or so. And we're going to start with the big one, and that is the SEC going to a conference-only schedule, which means LSU is starting conference play and its season on September 26th. Shay, it seemed for a while that the SEC was just going to roll through with college football season and just kind of try to make things happen like the LSU-Texas game and some of these non-conference games. But unfortunately, in the times we're living in right now, that was unable to happen. LSU going to kick off their season now on September 26th. Big news out of the SEC offices. What's kind of your main takeaway, I think, from all of this?
You know, I think that they wanted, no matter what, these universities wanted to be able to play football, first and foremost. They wanted, at minimum, to have to go to what they're doing now, which is, you know, a conference-only slate, getting rid of the non-conference games, which for LSU, one of them was Texas and the other games against Nicholls and UTSA and Rice, which aren't that desirable to watch or for a lot of fans to go to, maybe Nicholls being that they had never faced off before. But point being, they had the one marquee one, and they hope to keep it. But now that's going to have to be rescheduled for down the line. And to make the money they want and to continue tapping into their biggest source of revenue and as an athletics department, which is football for all of these SEC schools, their, I think, bottom was, okay, well, we can at least all play each other. We'll add games. We know that we can set up a testing model for COVID and tracking the health of everybody during the week and then on game day much better at our host sites, our home schools, with just our schools that we are familiar working with, and we can kind of be the governing body over. So everything will fall in line every game with the same sort of procedures in place. And I think that's why all these conferences felt like, okay, we can do a conference-only schedule, and we'll see what it means long-term for what does that mean for the college football playoffs. How do you get into the college football playoffs if some teams are playing more games than others and not every conference is created equal? Let's just get to football, and I'm sure we can debate all that later. But I will say the other point we have to debate, Billy, and I think we'll find out an answer here this week, is if they're playing 10 games, and we know that they are – hope is to keep your current 8 conference games. Who else is LSU playing? And there's only a handful of options, but I don't think that it puts LSU in such a bad spot as many people might think.
Right. And the thing about it too, is you mentioned moving to 10 games. That's stacking up a pretty tough schedule, regardless of how it, you know, ends up playing out, because the SEC is the SEC. And I think many of these teams are going to have some of the toughest schedules in college football because of it, and especially with so many of the Power Five teams going to that conference-only schedule. Right now, the Big 12, I believe, is the only one that's left that hasn't officially made that move to conference-only. So when you look at who LSU could add to this schedule, the road to Atlanta, which is now, I believe, December 19th, they moved back the conference championship game, it just gets even tougher.
Yeah, I think that when you look at, you know, your current slate of 6 SEC West opponents, all 6 of them, then you're playing South Carolina, which is the rotating team this year in the division from the East. And then, as I said, they play Florida every year. So you're going to add a couple of more from out of the East. And the buzz has been, and Brandon Marcello has been reporting on this for 24/7. We've seen in a lot of other national outlets sort of echoing all the same sentiment coming out of the SEC, is that A, they want to keep these 8 games, or, you know, excuse me, the 8 games that are already in place for each team. But also one way they're leaning is just maybe a simple solution is take the next 2 teams that you're supposed to be playing on your schedule schedule from the rotation of the East Division and put them on your schedule this year, that would be LSU at Kentucky and versus Tennessee. Now, Georgia would be in that mix, Missouri, Vanderbilt. My thinking is they played Vanderbilt last year. They played Georgia two times in the past 2 years in Vandy and Georgia, being the two SEC East teams that rotated in. And then Missouri, they played him in 2016. They're not up again till 2023 on the schedule. I guess if they're going to have to make some adjustments, Billy, of getting to 10 games is going to take adjusting some people's schedules from where games currently are. Maybe not all of them, but certainly some of them. Maybe they stick them with the Missouri if it just isn't working out for other teams. But my guess is they're going to go to Kentucky and they'll get Jeremy Pruitt and them in Baton Rouge.
And for a team in Tennessee that is certainly trending up, at least, and a lot of people think they are, that would be another quality addition to the 2020 schedule. And then Kentucky as well, that's not an easy place to go and play. So, look, I think for SEC fans too, you don't get some of these matchups as often as you might like. And just at least for this year, you get kind of it all moved up. And then they'll go from there and figure out however else it looks in terms of the future. But, you know, that ends up being a pretty salty schedule. And I think, one, people are going to be disappointed that LSU and Texas weren't able to play. And if I kind of thought there was a chance that maybe they would go with the plus one option where they go conference and then a plus one non-conference game. And in that case, I mean, you could have seen the LSU-Texas game moved up to September 5th, or, you know, some schools are even – you know, playing on week zero now. So that could have been an option. But instead, we do get an SEC-only slate. And I think with the SEC, they do a good job of really controlling, obviously, kind of their conference and their brand. And I think that was probably a little bit more of the reasoning why they opted, you know, to not have that plus one game. But for LSU, it means they're going to be going through workouts and doing the walkthroughs that they've been doing for the past, you know, couple weeks. And they do get that extended time with Tommy Moffitt to maybe get their bodies a little bit in better condition for fall camp. And instead of having this, lightened offseason, they do now have a full extra month, what it amounts to prepare their bodies for fall camp, which we would assume would start late August or, sometime around that.
Yeah, I mean, even with the missing time from spring ball, I can't see him tacking all of this extra time onto what's normally allowed for fall camp, which is a few weeks or whatever it is in August. And I'm with you. I would think it would start in late August and lead up to kickoffs on September 26th or that last weekend of September is when the current SEC slate is set to begin. I don't think they're going to be out there in pads for more than a month, you know, more than 3 or 4 weeks. So my guess is they're doing more of this walkthrough stuff, football school, maybe being able to have a ball and doing some simulated work. But no, I couldn't see him getting into that acclimation period in pads like you until the end of the month. Hey, look, I'll say this too. Everybody's on equal footing. So it makes this whole, the idea of no spring ball and an extended fall camp in some degree, certainly an odd summer. Everybody's kind of entering it on the same footing. But I am excited. I think that, and this has already been talked about, that people are going to enjoy the product more. If they're able to pull this off, and not just the SEC, but the other conferences, and you're being able to watch these teams not play cupcakes, quite often. Every week, somebody's usually playing a cupcake minus kind of that middle chunk of the season where everybody's in conference play. Even at the end of the year, LSU is playing out-of-conference games in recent must-see TV each week and how many good games are on. If they're able to pull this off, is going to go up. I also think, Billy, something that people haven't been talking about, and again, they're all on equal footing, but it's not a normal year. This SEC West, East, how much better really is each than the other, and is there only a few top teams, and are teams like Kentucky and Tennessee bridging the gap? When you're not just playing your normal two teams from the other division for each team, but now you're playing four? Because they're going to add two more to each team. That doubles it.
You know, as we get closer to fall camp, the position battles will certainly kind of start to pop up even more as we get into preseason predictions and preview mode. And two players, I mean, Jamal Pettigrew, tight end, senior, was expected to at least factor into that position. He hit the transfer portal late last week or over the weekend, I should say. And then Peter Parrish on Monday, who has been off the team for a while now, but he has officially hit the portal as well. So I think it'll be interesting to see, maybe there's some more attrition over the next couple of weeks leading up to fall camp, kind of gives some players some time to make some of those decisions that maybe they hadn't had time to leading up to camp. But I was a little surprised by Jamal Pettigrew moving on, and but not surprised, obviously, that Peter Parrish hit the portal as well.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by Pettigrew. I thought as a senior, this is sort of his time. I think he maybe, you could say, I'm just guessing here, but you could say that, yeah, probably by a handful of games in or mid-year, if he's living up to expectations, which is he's one of the best tight end prospects, it's going to be a starter. So if you're already playing as a second tight end, how much are you playing? And maybe he wanted to go somewhere and just be the primary guy, which you would totally understand. But I thought he might, you know, he would be on the roster. It caught me a little by surprise. But in May, also says that there's some positives about what Cole Taylor's done, who is your forgotten man. I mean, he is the guy who signed in the same class with Eric Gilbert, the five-star number one tight end, highest-ranked tight end in the history of 24/7 Sports. And rolled early. He's been there the whole time. He and kind of didn't get into the, you know, bulk of his workouts until the summer. But Cole Taylor is a big kid out of Colorado, and maybe we'll see both those guys playing next year. And like you said, with Peter Parrish, he'd been off the team since March. They had been pretty set on the three quarterbacks they have in Brennan, and then two true freshmen in TJ Finley and Max Johnson. It'll be interesting to see who's kind of deemed the backup as they get into football, but not a surprise in the portal. And I think that's why they've got Nussmeier and Walker Howard, and these guys already committed early for these next 2 years, is they know that with Brennan entering his junior year, that they've got to rebuild this quarterback room.
And no question. And for Pettigrew, I mean, look, I think that, like you said, it says a lot about Cole Taylor and what he's going to bring to the table as a big tight end. And of course, I think Parrish had already been passed up by Max Johnson, at least just kind of from, you know, the reports that we're getting. And TJ Finley's looked good too. Ed Ogeron kind of praised him in those first couple of days when he was on OTB recently. So quarterback room is a little scary if Miles Brennan goes down, but it was kind of expected that Parrish would move on. And now you saw Pettigrew do that at the tight end room. So Eric Gilbert and Cole Taylor, come on down and go have yourself a true freshman year at LSU and see what you can do. And look, at a player that's certainly moved up the depth chart right away is rookie quarterback Joe Burrow, who will start for the Cincinnati Bengals this season. We're going to talk a little bit about him, his fall camp coming up, his big payday, as well as kind of take a glance around the NFL. We'll do that on the other side of this break from the Go 24/7 podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. A quick reminder, guys, to leave us a rating, leave us a review, and subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends. Feel free to leave us a question that you want us to cover in the review section. We'll do a mailbag episode at some point with fall camp getting rolling here soon. And also, take 50% off Go 24/7 as we celebrate 10 years of 24/7 sports this month. That's 50% off annual subscriptions. So check that out. We'll be rolling out a ton of VIP content as summer workouts continue, and then it'll roll into fall camp. Shay, Joe Burrow arrived to sign his contract last week with the Cincinnati Bengals and get underway in his career officially in Cincinnati. And just reading what quarterbacks coach Dan Pitcher had to say, he said it's all ball now for Joe Burrow, which is really what they expected out of him. He's got his new house in Cincinnati. He's no longer living in his parents' basement. He's got his $23 million signing bonus hitting the bank account. Life is good if you're Joe Burrow as he gets ready to prepare for his first season as a starter in the NFL, albeit without preseason games.
Yeah, I mean, he got a great deal. I mean, geez, a fully guaranteed, already getting that 20, what, plus million, 25 plus million within 2 weeks of signing. So he'll be set. He said he feels is what he's going to love. And he's putting the Bengals money in the bank at the moment. But we also did a piece for the site on looking at the 15 highest paid former LSU players in the NFL. If you're just going off single season, what they're making this year, what they're taking home. And just with his contract alone this year, which is right over $6.5 million in terms of the cap hit, he sits right outside the top 10. I think he's, 10 or 11 on the list, right behind a 38-year-old Andrew Whitworth. Devin Whiteham got himself a deal recently. Daniil Hunter is on that list, not far ahead at $8.5 million. When he cuts his next deal, he'll be one of the top paid DNs in the NFL. And then we'll see what happens at the top, because over these next few years, way before Burrow signs, whatever his second contract will be down the line is, guys like Jamal Adams and Tre'Davious White, they'll all shoot way up the list. Lael Collins, Quan Alexander about to hit the meat of their contracts. The sort of guys who have owned the list, which is the Pat Petersons and Jarvis and Odells in recent years, are now starting to get bucked up by some other guys, and including number five on the list right now, at least in terms of this year's cap hit, over $10 million, Debo Jones. So what he got paid last summer, Billy, and this is the year that it starts to really pay off with how much he's bringing home per season.
Yeah, and I just can't imagine what that Jamal Adams contract is going to be. He's going to play it out this year, which, yeah, bet on yourself if you're Jamal Adams. I mean, he's in a great situation now with Pete Carroll. Obviously, the Legion of Boom, you know, I don't think it's that anymore. But, I mean, he certainly adds and brings that back around as one of the best safeties in the NFL. And he's going to get paid like it. I mean, what Eddie Jackson got over this offseason, Jamal Adams has to be licking his chops to – get a chance to negotiate with Seattle and an organization that has shown that they do pay some of their top players top dollar. I mean, you know, not only Russell Wilson, but a lot of those defensive guys through the years that they've had, they've gotten those mega contracts. And Jamal Adams, we'll see how he likes it on the West Coast up in sleepy Seattle, but he's playing with a guy that certainly has Ed Ogeron's, seal of approval in Pete Carroll. And they gave up a huge sum to get him. And so I would have to imagine they're going to do everything they can to sign him while Burrow is just starting out on his career. I mean, he's gotten a lot of praise from teammates. We've seen him working out on his own before that contract was signed with some of those teammates. He's right next to one of his neighbors is one of his old Ohio State teammates. So they'll keep each other in line. And, you know, things just seem to be trending for Joe Burrow to have a big rookie year.
I mean, Kyler Murray won like five or six games last year and took home awards. So I don't think the bar is not extremely high for a winner like Joe Burrow when you're going to a place like Cincinnati, who not only had the number one pick for a reason, that's something people always say and is incredibly true. They were the worst team in football, but they also just haven't been managed well in terms of the roster they put together, the draft picks they've made, and maybe we'll see this year. Burrow, T. Higgins, they've brought in some talent. They've locked up some guys that are on contracts that are good players. So there's not much expectation right away. So I think anything he delivers for them will bring excitement as he kind of settles into his, you know, his NFL career.
Yeah. And a couple guys that were off to a little bit of not a rocky start on their end, but just life in today's day and age hitting them hard a little bit was Blake Ferguson and Justin Jefferson. Both were placed on the COVID-19 reserve list by their respective NFL teams. Blake Ferguson already off of that list. And a lot of these are like precautions. They don't necessarily have it, but they were, you know, secondhand exposure or something like that. Danny Etling, backup quarterback with the Atlanta Falcons, also hit the COVID reserve list. Al Woods, who's now with the Jacksonville Jaguars, opted out of the 2020 season. So a couple quick hits on the COVID front for LSU's NFL players there. And then finally, OBJ, who of course is one of the league's more outspoken players, said he has no plans to opt out whatsoever, and he's ready to get back to work with Jarvis Landry and Baker Mayfield up there in Cleveland. So it could be a big year for OBJ and Jarvis as they look to kind of right that ship in Cleveland, just like Burrow's trying to do in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, we hear Odell right now. He's expressed concerns about the season, but added, you know, what, just a couple of weeks ago that he had no plans of opting out. There's a lot of guys who have already said they were going to sit out. And, you know, Beckham didn't just say he was entertaining it. He went in a pretty in-depth interview a couple of times now, including one with the Wall Street Journal, where which ran on Monday, where he talked about kind of how he's felt in recent years. And a lot of this seemed more built up frustration with not getting the type of numbers or targets that a lot of the other of the league's highest paid receivers do get, but also mentioned the safety of the season and what it means for him. So I'm curious to see as guys continue to opt out or decide to play, which if any of these LSU guys, and certainly in guys in as big of a role as Beckham, decide either say, yep, I'm a full go, or no, I'm out. So far, it looks like everybody's in. But boy, like you said, if the Browns are trying to make strides right now, they've got some new guys added to the LSU roster on defense with Delpit and Phillips. They've had Greedy Williams there. And certainly Jarvis and Odell are the lifelines for Baker in the passing game. So they're riding a lot on the hopes of LSU football. And I think for LSU fans, they'd like to see them have some sort of success.
Yeah, no doubt. It'd be nice at least just to see the Browns succeed a little bit at some point, especially after all the hype with Baker and just Jarvis and OBJ and just all those guys, Myles Garrett, them put together something. But they've been cycling through coaches plenty. Shady, we cycled through the news pretty quickly on this one. Hope you had a great weekend, a little relaxing one as we kick off August now. But it's going to be a little bit longer until we're back in fall camp in Baton Rouge as they move things back. But we'll be covering it. We'll have everybody you know, up to date on Go 24/7, and we'll keep things rolling.
Absolutely. And yeah, check back with us on, gosh, twice this month, Billy, August 10th for Corey Collier's announcement, a defensive back the Tigers are after. And then at the end of the month, August 28th, when Nathaniel Wiggins out of Atlanta, top 100 DB, announces his decision. LSU's in it for both. We'll certainly chat about them on a podcast coming up, but tons of recruiting buzz, at least to hold us over until fall camp.
So what we do, we keep it going, and appreciate everybody for listening. But for now, we're going to wrap up this edition of the podcast. Another quick reminder, leave us a rating, leave us a review. Let us know what you want to see on the pod. Hope everybody has a safe week, and thanks for listening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.